Let's read verses 22 to 24. Speaking of Jesus, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide for yourselves money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The Lord's word this night. As we get ready for the Thanksgiving week, it's a good opportunity to think about the call upon our lives to be a thankful people. I'm always struck by what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:18, where he says that we are to be thankful, to give thanks in all circumstances. And then he adds, "For this is the will of God for your life." This is the will of God. Right? You know, I think, what's the will of God for me? To give thanks in all circumstances. It's something that doesn't come naturally. We need to work on. God needs to work on us. And so as I was meditating on some different passages of Scripture in connection with our Sunday school, came across this, aided by the book we're studying, and thought, seeing the world and God as our Father, intimately involved in the details of our world, and our temptation to be anxious in the midst of it, those things are connected to Thanksgiving, because after all, it's virtually impossible to be anxious and thankful at the same time. Right? Think about that. You can't really thank God for what you have if you're anxious about getting what you don't have. You can't really thank the Lord for being a good father to you today if you're anxious, wondering if he's going to be a good father to you tomorrow. And so what we need to do is we need to have God work on our anxiety to lead us to appreciating his fatherly care and growing in being thankful. In this passage, Jesus gets right at it. He just comes out and says, "Do not be anxious about your life." He really gives four encouragements that all come together in that vein. And we'll take them one at a time. It leads us right through the passage. The first thing he tells us about battling with worry and anxiety is what we need to do is we need to redefine life according to God and his word. He says, verse 22, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." But then he gets specific about some of the basics of life, right? Your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Right? He's talking about the basics, right? Food, clothing. And Jesus says, don't worry about them. Don't be anxious about them. And he gives the reason there, verse 23. "For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Right? It's true, food and clothing are necessary on a human level for life. But as Jesus tells us, life is much more than them. It's more than just food. It's more than just clothing. Your life's value, your life's significance, your life's impact is so much more than just getting by with food and clothing. And so God encourages us, don't be consumed or overwhelmed with those details, because your life is bigger. And as he's going to add at the end, and your Father knows that you need that. He knows that you need, and he'll provide. Behind all the stuff of life, Jesus wants us to see there is the Father who knows about it and who grants it. And that's the challenge with worry, or really the sin of worry. When we start worrying about the stuff, we miss the goodness of the Father who is behind all the stuff. We need to remind ourselves regularly, oh yeah, that's right, my life is bigger than this stuff. Jesus says, yeah, in fact, seek first the kingdom, and the Father will provide everything else. The Father, the kingdom, this is the things that are greater than food and clothing. Focus on them, and the anxieties, well, they get put in their perspective. That's first. Life is, redefine life. It's more than just food and getting by. Secondly, he tells us, look outside. Look outside. He goes on to give us a pair of illustrations that help us in our war with anxiety. And they come from the natural world. Look outside. The first one, verse 24. Look at the ravens. And it's helpful to know a little bit about ravens. I didn't necessarily know much about ravens. Maybe Sam told us this morning about how he was trained at an early age to notice the birds. So Sam might know more about ravens than I did before this. But apparently, ravens weren't really known as being the nicest, cleanest birds in the world. Ravens are animals that eat just about anything, and they love to eat things that are dead, especially animals that have died, garbage. This is why, according to Old Testament laws, ravens are classified as being unclean. In fact, they're even specifically called detestable. Detestable. And of course, Jesus' disciples that he's talking to, Jews who were raised in that Old Testament context, well, they would completely know that as soon as he mentioned ravens. Like how one commentator put it, he said that ravens are the bottom of the creature barrel. And instantly they would hear the word ravens. Oh yeah, ravens. You know, maybe the way Fernando thinks about groundhogs or something like that. But his point is that if God cares for them, right, the birds that eat garbage, the birds that are detestable, that you don't want to touch and you certainly don't want to eat, but God cares for them and feeds them, how much more is he not going to care for you and feed you? All right, this is an argument that Jesus loves to use, from the lesser to the greater. Look at how he cares for them. They don't spend all their time searching and sowing and bringing in crops and storing it in the barns. They're scavengers. They just look around. Oh, there's food. God provided it. There it is. Of course, God's point here is not that we should turn into scavengers. Not that we should provide for the lesson is that, you know, don't work for a living. Part of how God provides for us is by giving us skills and talents to work the fields, even though they come up with thorns and thistles, and that provides for, that's God's provision for us. But the point is God's provision and worry, or the lack of it. If we can look out and see that God provides for the lowest, the garbage eaters, well, and he's my Father. Well, then he's going to care for me. Look at the ravens. Look at the flowers, he says. That's 27, 28. Look at the flowers. You know, maybe this time of year you can think back several months and remember those spring flowers that popped up and how beautiful they looked and how encouraging it was. Spring is here and the flowers are out. And you think about where those flowers are now, right? They're dead. Or the plants, you know, so shriveled it's gone. And, you know, as he said, you know, these are flowers. They're here today and they're gone. Just burn the weeds. There's nothing left. But, as Jesus reflects, those flowers more beautiful and splendor, filled with splendor than Solomon in all his royal robes and glory. Again, the point is from the lesser to the greater. If God so cares for those flowers and they're just here and gone, how much more is he not going to care for us in the necessities of life, like clothing? Feeds the ravens, clothes the flowers. And this is our Father. How much more is he not going to care for us? And so the world, the natural world, Jesus says, becomes a picture, a window for us to learn about the Father who cares for us. If he cares so intimately and perfectly for the natural world and its creatures, even the lowest of them, how much more is he going to care for us, those made in his image, those redeemed by the blood of his Son, those brought into his family as children? And he gently rebukes us and says, "Oh, you have little faith," verse 28. "Oh, you have little faith." Yeah, if he cares for that, he's going to care for us. So next time you find yourself being anxious, right, look outside. Look outside. Look at the birds. Look at the grass. And then third, he says, give up what doesn't work. Give up what doesn't work. Verse 25 and 26. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious as the rest? So he takes this example of, you know, can you just add an even hour to your life? In other words, anxiety doesn't work. The worry doesn't do anything. It can't do the simplest thing by adding 1 hour. You know, the average human life is something like 700,000 hours. That's a lot of hours. But you could worry for that entire time, that entire 700,000 hours, worry and be anxious and be tied in knots. And sometimes I feel like I'm too often spending too much time in that direction. You could be tied up in that whole time and not even add one to that 700,000. It doesn't work, Jesus says. So remind yourself that it doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, actually, rather than adding to life, the anxiety steals from us, doesn't it? It steals from our time as we spend time worrying and fretting, steals our sleep, often steals our health. And the bottom line is it just doesn't work. Some of you who came to our house years ago knew about the crazy cardinal who lived nearby. That's what we called him, crazy cardinal, because he would wake up first thing in the morning and he'd fly into our window in the living room. Bang! And then he'd do it again. Bang! And again. Bang! And he'd do it all day long. And then the next day would start and he'd do it again. And it was something like a year that he did this until we kind of figured out, oh, if we pull the shade down, he doesn't see his reflection, think it's another bird, and keep flying into the window. And eventually, I guess he flew off and lived a happy life or something like that. But for an entire year, almost all day, every day, he flew into the window and banged his head. But he kept doing it. And, you know, you think about something like anxiety. That's essentially what we do. Yeah, it didn't work for the last 30 years, but I'm going to keep trying it. Maybe this day I'm going to add a year to my life. You know, I'm rebuking myself here. It doesn't work. And so Jesus says, cast your eyes on something even better, even bigger, which is the final point. Seek what lasts. Right? Talk about what works. Right? The kingdom of God. Here is what will last for all eternity. Life isn't in the stuff. It isn't in the food, isn't in the clothing. But here's the kingdom, right? Verse 29, right? Do not seek what you're to eat, what you're to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. Your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Right, as he thinks about life, Jesus says, what are you seeking? It's not what you do, right? It's not that we're called to not do anything about food and clothing, Right? We know from the rest of Scripture, we're called to do something. Paul will say, yeah, you know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, right? Because that's how God provides for us. We do. But it's more than that. It's what are you seeking? It's at a much deeper, more fundamental level. Where's your heart set? Where's your mind set? What are your passion, your dream, what you're living for? And really, there's really only two different answers to this question. You're either seeking God's kingdom, or you're seeking a little kingdom for your own, where you're the God of it. And of course, seeking after your own little kingdom doesn't work. Right? You worry and fret, and it doesn't really, only trouble comes, and it doesn't last. As he goes on to say, the things of this world that we if we run after, well, it's worthless because thieves steal, and money bags, they grow old, and moth destroys. But here's the kingdom. That's what lasts. Now, that's what lasts into eternity. That's what satisfies at the deepest level. And Jesus says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right, so it's not even like we seek it hoping to maybe earn it for ourselves. And the Father's already giving it as a free gift. But yet, Jesus says it's to be our heart. It's to be what we live for and run after. There's the most key weapon to overcoming anxieties about the earthly stuff is to get your eyes fixed on something even higher. It's not saying that the earthly stuff isn't important or doesn't affect you or doesn't impact you. Oh, it does. And sometimes it hurts. And that's okay. And God understands. You merely look at the miracles of Jesus and his care with those who are suffering to know that there's no lack of compassion about earthly hurts. But there is a Jesus who's gently to his flock, lifting their eyes to something even better. Seek first his kingdom, and all the rest he will provide. So, you want to grow in being thankful? You want to seek out the will of God for your life? Well, part of that's going to be taking on what will steal your thankfulness. Get your eyes off of God and what he has given. Well, you got to go after the worries and the anxieties. And maybe God will give you some time this holiday week in the midst of the busyness to just take a walk outside. Or if nothing else, just to stare out the window for a little bit. To stare at the Father's world and give you an opportunity to remind yourself that it is the Father's world. And maybe watch the birds a little bit or watch the trees and see, yeah, that's right, my Father owns that. And he cares for it. And if he cares for that, how much more will he not care for me? Even providing what is bigger and better, what is life, even the kingdom, and giving it freely to me. Let that encourage you. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for your encouragement and care. We pray that you would help us to have eyes to see, both in the natural world and in your word, your great love for your own. Thank you that you've done it through your Son, even the Lord Jesus, providing all that we need for our life and godliness. And we pray you give us greater faith and thankful hearts for all your mercies to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing 525 as we sing about being a child of the King. 525.